Today we're starting Masechet, the fifth. We're starting Nida Daf Mem, the fifth perek. Okay, we're almost a month to the Siyum. I just want to remind people to register for the Siyum. We're having a big Siyum, a big event with lots of people from around the world are coming, and people from Daf Yomi groups around Israel are coming. Some women finishing their second cycle after in Matan and in Alon Shvut, their group is finishing their second cycle of Shas. There's people in our group finishing their second cycle of Shas. And lots of women coming who've never learned Gemara before as an intro to Gemara, as a way of, an entryway in. So please come, please register. It'll be an event worth going to. Okay, starting with Daf Mem. Yotzei Dofen, Ein Yoshvin Alav Yimei Tum'ah, V'Yimei Tahara, V'Ein Chayavin Alav Korban. Here we're starting with C-sections. First of all, there's a really interesting discussion comes up in the Rambam and the Perasha Mishnah, and I think the Chazon Ish talks about it, about whether there's a way, like we say C-section, okay, it seems pretty obvious, but if you think about it, was a woman able to survive in those days from a C-section after having a C-section? It seems, so there's actually a discussion among the Mefarshim about whether this could actually happen without the woman dying and how rare it is. Some think, oh yeah, it would be really rare because she likely dies. Some people say, oh, they must have, right. So they must have, so others say, oh no, they used drugs and with drugs she'd be able to survive. And, and others say, no, it's actually commonplace, and they obviously knew what they were doing. So it's an interesting discussion they have about different perspectives on what did this really happen often, and would the mother actually survive?
The mortality rate had to be
pretty high. Yes, it obviously had to be much higher than normal.
Right.
I don't know. Where did the root of the...
It is.
He really was. He was born that way. Interesting. Okay. I never even looked that up. Okay, so anyway, Yotzei Dofen, and right here it's obviously not called a C-section, it's called a, coming out the wall, right? Okay, coming out the wall. It's a funny way to say it. So there's no, if your baby is born in that way, there's no dinim of Tumah and Tahara, the Dam Tohar and Dam Tameh, that whole thing of the 14 or the 7 days and the 66 and the 33 days, not relevant. Ve'ein chayavein alav korban, and she doesn't even bring a korban leida. This is not called a birth. Rabbi Shimon omer hareze kielo. We talked about this before in the past, right? And Rabbi Shimon says, no. We view this as a regular birth. Okay, it was a birth of a different way, but it's a birth. And then all the laws would be relevant. Korban, chame, tohar, everything. Kol anashim, okay, another halacha. Kol anashim mitam'ot bebeit hachitzon, shenemar dam yezoba bivsara. Beit HaChitzon, the outer area. Outer area doesn't mean the outside of her body. It means dafka, the inside of her body, outside the uterus. Meaning, as soon as the blood leaves the uterus, she becomes tameh. Okay, even if it hasn't left her body. This is going to be different. Okay, here we're talking not about dam leida. We're talking about, because dam leida, you're going to be tameh even if you don't see dam leida. If it's a regular birth. Or, according to Rabbi Shimon, even a C-section. But... here we're talking about Nida and Zava, but Avala Zav u'Bal Keri einam mitamim ad shetitei tumatan l'chutz. In order for them to be mitame, the tumah has to actually leave the body. And then we have this very odd case: Haya ochel b'truma. If he's in the middle of eating truma, v'hirgish nizdazdeh evarav, and he feels like semen is about to spurt out, what does he do? In order, right, since while it's in his body moving around, it's not tame, and he's eating truma, and he wants to be able to eat the truma without disqualifying the truma, because as soon as he becomes tame, the truma will be pasul, and he'll have to burn it. So ochez ba'amai, he holds his eber ubolea tatruma, and then he swallows the truma very quickly, and basically holds it in. Umitamim b'kolshu afilu ke'en achardal ubepachot mikin. And it's mitame in any, and this seems to imply not just to the shechbatzer and the zav, but probably also to the nida, that any sort of amount that comes out, even if it's ke'en achardal, like a mustard seed, or bepachot mikin, right, this is reminiscent of what we're going to get to, Rabbi Zeira, who holds the famous women are makpi, right, even al tipat dam kechardal. Okay, even a little drop like a mustard seed, yoshvot ala shivanakim. Okay, this we're not talking about shevanakim. Right. There, it's the din of shevanakim that they treated as if safek zava. Okay, we're going to get to that later. But here they're saying, right, even less than that, okay, which is pretty small, any little amount is going to be mitami. Amar Rav Mani Bar Patish. Now we're going to have a ping pong back and forth, where everybody darshans it from, what they do with the others, pasuk, where they learn that halacha from, if they learn it from there, and then, you know, we're going to have one of those ping pong discussions about drasha. So Rav Mani Bar Patish says, "Mai ta'amayu de Rabbanan? What's the reason why they say Yotze Yofen doesn't have all the regular laws of Tumah? Amar Kra, Isha ki tazri av yalda zachal, ad shetele b'mkom shi mazrat." We've seen this before also, right? A woman who's tazriya, okay, she gets implanted with a seed, so to speak, and had a zachar. So what are they darshan for the word tazriya? Until she gives birth from the place where the seed went in. Okay, therefore only regular birth. Now what does Rabbi Shimon do with this pasuk? The Rabbi Shimon, ha'hida afilu lo yalda, ela ke'en she'izriya imot me'aleida. He learned something entirely different. What does he learn? If you remember, we talked about this. Once the fetus is already 40 days old, but then it gets kind of destroyed. Remember, 40 days old is from the day they last had the day they had intercourse after she went to the mikvah. Okay, so we're going to say now that if that fetus kind of dissolves and turns back into liquid, okay, in other words, it had a form but then dissolved and turns into liquid, so what are we going to say? In that case, it's like ke'en shemazrat, right? It's like the zera. It looks like it because it's a liquidy substance. So he's going to say she's still tmei'a leida. In other words, assuming it was beyond the 40 days, even if it comes out liquidy, she's still going to be tmei'a, okay? Because it's like mashizriya. And then this has absolutely nothing to do with the yotze dofen. So now we're going to find Rabbi Shimon's shita. Rabbi Shimon mai ta'ame. So what's his reason? Why does he think it is considered a leida? Amarish lakish amar ka teled. We've darshan this a few times already. Teled, in different ways we've darshan this word. Okay, what's this? This is the pasuk where it talks about im nikeva teled. If she gives birth to a nikeva, then she's tmei'a shvuayim, right? For a zachar, it's a week. And then for a nikeva, it's shvuayim. But it could have just said im nikeva. But it says, so what do we do with this extra word, teled? It comes to include even a yotze dofen. It's an extra word. Extra words come to include extra cases, right? And that's where it says, she's tmei'a shvuayim, blah, 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 right? And all the dinim of the leida, right? All the birth-related halachot about the tumah tara and the korban. Rabbanan, so what's Rabbanan going to do with teled? You need that to include the tumtum who has, right? We don't know if it's male or female because the parts of the body there are covered. And we don't know the androgynous is he has both simanei zachar and nekeva. These are both sfeikot. So in these sefeik cases, what do we say? The word teleid comes to include that if a woman gives birth to a tumtum and androgynous, she's still going to have the dam tame, the dam tohar, and the korban. So now we're going to have to say, so now why do you need a special pasuk to darshan this? First of all, before we get back to Rabbi Shimon and say, where does Rabbi Shimon learn tumtum v'androgynous? If his pasuk isn't free for that, right? Teled he used to teach this halacha. So what's he going to do with tumtum v'androgynous? But first we'll explain why you even need a special pasuk for tumtum v'androgynous. Desalkadata chamina zachar unekeva k'tiv. It says, im zachar teled im nekeva. So you have, right, Ishaki says Rabbi Yalda Zachar, and then Im Nekeva, so you might have thought, K'tiv Zachar Nekeva K'tiv, says specifically male, female, you might have thought, Zachar Vadai Nekeva Vadait, only if it's 100% is Zachar, 100% Nekeva. We actually had a drasha from a different place where we said, a few weeks ago, where we said, Zachar Nekeva means Zachar Vadai Nekeva Vadait. Therefore, kamash malan. That's why you need the drasha from Teled, and that's why Teled is not panoy to learn what Rabbi Shimon learns. Rabbi Shimon, so now where is he going to learn tumtum v'androgynous? He learns it from somewhere else. Nafkalemi detani bar levi. He learns it from the bride to the bar levi brought. Detani bar levi. Leven, leven mikomakom. Levat, levat mikomakom. Okay, what's this pasuk? This is the pasuk when it says, why don't I have it here at the bottom? Fine. It's you bring the it's leven o levat. B'malot yimei tahara leven o levat. This is where it talks about her korban. When the days finish for either a birth, leven o levat. Okay, which, again, we kind of knew this was all levan or levat. So why do you need that? And also it seems the levan or levat is some coming to include something else. So he says, levan or levat comes to include, right? Levan, levan mikol makom. Levat, levat mikol makom. Okay, so again, he doesn't need it from zachar nekeva, because that he uses for the other halacha, but he needs it for tumtum vandroginus, okay? The Rabbanan, so now if Rabbanan learned tumtum vandroginus from the zachar nekeva, from the teled, from the extra word teled, so what are they going to do with levan or levat? For Rabbanan, haim ebaile lechayev al kol ben uben, or lechayev al kol bat ubat. It's to tell you, because what's the context? The korban. You bring a korban even if you have multiple births. Okay, now it seems if you have multiple births, the Rambam says if you have multiple births, in one birth, you only bring one korban. Okay, if you give birth to twins, you bring one korban leida. But if you have, okay, these weird cases we saw the other day where you give birth, then you get pregnant within the 80 days, and then you miscarry already within the 80 days, and then you come at the end of the 80 days and you're chayav a korban, now you're chayav two korbanot. The question is, do you only bring one because everything happened within those 80 days, or do you bring two? So this is to teach you the levan or levat that you actually have to bring on each one. For Rabbi Shimon, so now the question is, if Rabbi Shimon needs levan or levat to teach you the tumtum vandroginus, then what's he going to do with levan or levat? I'm sorry, where's he going to learn this halacha from about al kol ben uben, al kol bat ubat? Nafkalemi ditane tana kame de rav sheshet. Right, we keep bringing in other brayta. He's going to learn it from the following brayta that was brought by a tana in front of rav sheshet. Most of these brayta, by the way, if you notice, are brought in by amoraim. And we say, oh, just like that amora brought some brayta. It was right from the earlier period. So also this time. Zot torat hayoledet. Okay, now the word Torah, we're going to see this more than once today. Torah generally comes to say there's the same halacha for many cases. It's like saying there's a general rule. This is the laws of the Yoledet. Okay, it teaches you that she brings one korban on many vladot. You might have thought, what if she has a birth and she's Yoledet Bezov? Remember, we talked about that. She had Zava before she gave birth, and then she gave birth and she hadn't yet had her Sheva Nekiyim, and now what happens? A Yoled is supposed to bring a Korban, and the Zava is supposed to bring a Korban. Now, theoretically, they're not exactly the same Korban. Both bring an Ola and a Chatat, but the Yoled, if you remember, brings a Kivsa l'Chatat and a bird for an Ola. Right, did I get it right? That the Kivsa is the Chatat? Where Kivsa is the Ola. I forget, but in any case, she brings a behema and an oaf. However, if she, I'm just going to look it up in the meantime, which one is which, so I don't, here. Sorry, I made my mistake. It's the keves is the ola. The keves is for the korban ola, and the bird is for the chatat. However, if she can't afford it, then she brings two birds. So theoretically, if she brought two birds, she could kill two birds with one stone. Okay, so she would end up, right? So she would, maybe that's where it comes from, right? Kill two. So anyway, she would end up covering all her bases. So maybe she could do that. So the Gemara stops mid-Braita and says, wait, something's totally wrong with this Braita. It makes absolutely no sense to suggest such a thing. So we're going to say why. So now they say, "Ela yoledet achla dam, yoledet achla chelev, v'chag korban tiskela." If a woman ate dam, forgetting that dam was asur, and then she, right, then someone says, "Oh, you know, you ate dam." And then if she ate chelev, and she didn't know chelev was asur, she didn't know this was chelev, and she ate it, and then someone said, "You know, that was asur, right? That's called chelev or dam b'shkaga." What does she have to do? She has to bring korban chatat. Does she bring only one? No, of course she brings two. Chelev and dam are two separate isurim. Likewise, Leida and Ziva are two totally separate things. How could you think that she could bring a korban on both? Ela, this is what the bright is saying. Yachol tavia leida shel lifnei malot va'al leida shel achar malot ke'echat. You might have thought that let's say she has a birth before malot yimei tara, and then she has a birth l'achar. What does that mean? So this is like our case with a minor variation. She ends up, she gives birth. Then within the 80 days she gets pregnant,
And then beyond the 80 days, she doesn't yet bring her korban leida from the first. And then she gives birth or miscarries what she had gotten pregnant with while she was still in the emot tahara. So you might have thought, well, since she got pregnant within those days, maybe we can consider this all one birth. Or alternatively, maybe this is talking about, remember we talked about the case where, well, we'll get back to it if you don't remember it, the sons of Rabbi Chiya who were born within 3 months of each other, which is after the Melot, because the Melot are 40 days, where one was born at the beginning of the 7th and one was born at the end of the 9th, 3 month gap. So also there, you might have thought, okay, that you would bring only one on both. Talmud Lomar, Zot. Zot is to say each one individually. Okay, so there you see that he learns that halacha from the word Zot. And he doesn't need to learn it from Levan or Levat, that you're chayav kol achat v'achat, he learns it from Zot. The Rabbanan, so now back to Rabbanan. Af agav dechsiv Zot, right, what do they do with Zot then? Well, they also learn this halacha from Zot, but it's derech Levan or Levat. You actually need both drashot, because they're both talking about minorly different cases. Right, one is, so salkadat hachamina hanemile betrei ibure. If you just had Leben or Lebat, you might have said, that's two pregnancies. Remember, because we said there she was pregnant, she had a baby, then she got pregnant again, and then miscarried. Aval b'chad ibura, kigon Yehuda b'chizkia b'nei Rabbi Chiya, emar b'chad korban sagela, kamashmalan. But without the word zot, you might have thought that a case like Yehuda and Chizkia, that they were all part of one pregnancy. Since we said twins, you only bring one korban, maybe twins like that, even if one is before Melot and one is after Melot, one is after the 40 days or after the 80 days, you might have thought that maybe you would only bring one korban. That's what the Zot comes to say. And we end up, at least they agree on one drasha, right? It's just, they agree, minor variation. Does it include all the cases or do you need two to learn that out? But in the end, that ends our ping pong because he actually agrees with his drasha, just says that, you know, I need it. I need both drashot. Okay, that was the ping pong of the drasha. Now we're going to get back to Rabbi Shimon. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, again, reminding you what Rabbi Shimon said, even if it's a Yotzei Dofen, we consider that a regular birth. So comes Rabbi Yochanan and he says, Umode Rabbi Shimon bekodshim she'eino kadosh. He says that when it comes to an animal, okay, now, if you remember, we learned that a Yotzei, okay, the pasuk by an animal says, ki yivaled, right? Ba shor o kesev o ez ki yivaled, right? And then it tells you that what? It has to be 7 days tachat imo, and ba yom shmini ye ratzel le korban, right? Once the 8th day hits, it can be used as a korban. So what do they learn from this pasuk? Ki yivaled, it has to be born in a regular birth. So now we're going to say that Rabbi Shimon agrees that when it comes to an animal, even though in a human birth, he views a cesarean section the same as a regular birth, and you're going to have all the regular laws. When it comes to an animal, if an animal is born that way, it can't be brought as a korban. So what will happen if you sanctify that type of animal?
A bechor.
No, not a bechor. We'll get to a bechor also. Okay? Bechor for sure. Okay. Bechor, everybody agrees, and maybe we'll start with that because we're going to get to that in a minute. Everybody agrees, Bechor says peter rechem. It has to come out of the rechem. If it doesn't come out of the rechem, it's not going to be a Bechor. That's laws that relate to, right, what's the Bechor here? That's an animal. The firstborn animal goes to the Kohen, right, unless it gets a mum, remember, and then there's all different laws. But the Bechor goes to the Kohen, and that Bechor is only needs to go to the Kohen, and then the Kohen has to sacrifice it. That's only if it was born a regular birth, not cesarean section. However, what we're talking about now is if I sanctify, I take an animal that was born through a cesarean, and what do I say? I say, I'm sanctifying this to the Beit HaMikdash. Well, what happens to it? I can't sanctify it as a korban. It can't be brought as a korban. We're going to learn why, because we're going to learn it out from Bechor. We're going to say, Gzerah Shava, it says Ki Valed, it says Ki Valed, just like the Leida of Bechor. And the question is going to be, why don't we learn it from humans? Because in the human case, Rabbi Shimon views it as the same. And what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, right, on the one hand, we have Bechor, which, you know, according to right, a Kesari or a Yotzei Dofen, right, a Yotzei Dofen is not going to be a Bechor. But when it comes to Adam, a Yotzei Dofen, again, this is only Rabbi Shimon, is considered a Leida Rigila, right, a regular birth. So now, what we have in the middle here is this Behemat Kodashim. Okay, and the question is, which is it going to be like? So you might have thought, well, just like we view birth of a human as a, even Kesari is going to be the same. Maybe we would say the same for Behema. And comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, no, no, no. He's going to compare it to Bechor. He's going to learn it out from Bechor, and we're going to say it doesn't count. Now, what's going to happen? So if I sanctify this animal, it doesn't have Kedushat Aguf. Kedushat Aguf means we bring it as a korban. So it has Kedushat Damim. Kedushat Damim means, well, its value goes to the Beit HaMikdash, which means what? Which means that I have to now take its value and buy a korban with that and bring a korban, but I can't use that animal because it's an exception to the rule. So my time, where does he get this from? Gamar leida leidami b'chor. By the b'chor, it says, ki. It says also, kol b'chor asher yivaled. And by korban, it says, shor kesev oez ki yivaled. So gzera shava, we're going to learn what's true for one is true for the other. Ma hatam peterechem. By b'chor, it's obvious it's only if it comes out of the rechem. Avkan peterechem. So now they're going to ask, v'ligmar leida leidami adam. Why don't you say, if you're going to make gzera shava? Now this is a bit of a weird question, because we only do gzera shavas when we have a masoret about it. But they're basically saying, why is that the masoret and not this? Why wouldn't you say, Isha ki tezriya vi yalda zachar? It doesn't matter that one says yivaled and one says, you know, yalda. It's the same root. You can learn Xer Sheva from the same root. So why don't we learn it from Adam? Ma hatam yotzei dofen, afkan yotzei dofen. Again, only according to Rabbi Shimon, we're going to view leida, yotzei dofen is included in leida. So they say, mistabra mi b'chor havalei l'melech. More logically, we'll learn it from b'chor. They don't say because animal to animal. Okay? They just say, more logical. Why? Shekein imo me'imo. We're going to work in the realm of psukim. It says by the animal, vayash shivat yamim tachad imo. And it says by the b'chor, shivat yamim yihyeh im imo. So those two psukim sound very similar. So, and both mention the mother. So, right? And notice, right, also, Isha ki tezriya v'yalda zachar, it's mentioning the mother, but it's not saying imo, okay? And the whole pasuk doesn't sound exactly the same. So they say, we're going to learn it from that because of imo. So, right, that's the comparison. Okay, that's why it's got more strength than the other side. So they say, adrava me'adam havalei l'me'elav shachem pashut mi'pashut. If you're trying to compare them, well, let's take what's pashut, it's the opposite of a b'chor. B'chor is only a b'chor. But the Adam and the Behema, we're talking about these births, well, that's any birth, even one that's not a Bechor. So, Ela, mi Bechor, havalei l'melech. So now they're going to say, no, no, no. Okay, so yeah, you have one similarity to there and one similarity to there. So now we're 50-50. Why is it going that way and not that way? Well, now we're going to give a long list. Okay, so we've played these games before, right? It becomes a numbers game. This is similar in all those ways, and this is similar that in all those ways, and then we're going to, in the end, say, well, let's count. How many ways? How many ways? That wins out, because that has more similarities. So, elami b'chor havalei l'melech, shekein aim. Okay, that's the mother. We already did that one. That's one. Two, behemat kodeshim. Okay, both relate to sanctified animals. Okay, not just animals, but sanctified animals. Three, pigul. Four, notar. Five, tame. The laws of pigul, notar, and tame apply only to b'chor and behemat kodeshim. It doesn't apply to a human being. There's no such thing, right? What is pigul, notar, and tame, right? Let's just quickly review. Pigul is when the kohen has the wrong intent when he's slaughtering the animal, or the, right, that he's going to eat it or burn it, chutz l'zmano or chutz l'mkomo, in the wrong place or in the wrong time. Notar is where he leaves over the meat beyond the time you're allowed to eat it, and tame is where it becomes tame. All those cases, if someone eats them, you get karet, although pigul, it depends whether it's chutz l'zmano or chutz l'mkomo, but fine. In one of the ways you're going to, right, and if it's chutz l'zmano, you're going to get karet. So now they say, so because it's similar in those five ways, therefore we're going to learn it from there. But now they're going to say, Adraba, me Adam havalei l'melech. If you want to play the numbers game, fine. I'll give you a whole bunch of ways it's similar to Adam. Shekein, pashut. Okay, we already have that one. They're not bechorim. Zachar. Now we're going to have all the things that are true for bechor and not true for those. Bechor is only zachar. And the Adam and behemat kodeshim are zachar or nekeva. Kadosh. The bechor is sanctified from the rechem, before it's even born, whereas Adam and Behema can only become sanctified later, right? And Adam even, I don't know if you can really even sanctify an Adam. And b'matana, the bechor is given as a matana to the Kohen, but the Behema Kodeshim and the Adam are not given as a gift, it's not one of the gifts to the Kohen. So therefore, we're going to say, oh, look, it's similar to Adam. But notice how many? Four similarities and not five. So Gemara is going to say, if you're going to play the numbers game, well, hanach nefishin. There's five similarities to Bechor, and that's why we're going to learn it from Bechor and not from Adam. Okay, so finish that section.
Before you finish, can I just ask you, if Rabbi Shimon thinks that Yotzei Dofen is the same as Leida Regila, you're totally excluding Bechor Adam, because then a Bechor that would be born according to Rabbi Shimon?
We're not talking about laws of Bechor of Adam at all. In other words,
right, but why didn't, so then that's my next question, why didn't they bring it into the equation if they're talking about...
Compare to Bechor Adam and say, since that's not applicable. First of all, I don't know that there's any words that are similar. When it talks about Bechor Adam...
Because they're comparing words.
Right, I guess, although that, it probably says Peter Rechem there. You're saying, why wouldn't we bring into the equation the question of Bechor Adam? The reason here why we're not bringing in the Bechor Adam is because we're basically saying our whole question is the Behemat Kodeshim. We want to know, is it like Bechor or is it like Adam? But we don't need to bring in the Adam Bechor in that case. The Adam Bechor, in its Rabbi Shimon holds that a Behemat Kodeshim is, I'm sorry, that Adam, a Leida, it's considered a Leida Regila for all the Dim of Tum and Tara, but nobody thinks that he thinks that it would be a Leida Regila for laws of Bechor, because Bechor for sure needs Peter Rechem. That's clear from the Psukim there. But he doesn't, you're saying, really, why don't we learn, why would he say that Adam Yotzei Dofen, he has his own shita here. It would have nothing to do with the Bechor. If he learned it from Bechor, he would come to an opposite conclusion. So we want to say, maybe the question is, why didn't Rabbanan prove their proof from there? But they have better proof, I think, from the Pasuk directly here, rather than trying to compare it to the Peter Rechem. I think also, the reason why we got into Peter Rechem is because the Pesukim were so, so similar between, right, Ki Valeid, and it will be with its mother. Like, it's so parallel that they had to draw the parallel, whereas here, I don't think it was as clear about drawing the parallel. Tanya de Mesayele the Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, sorry, I skipped the line. Amar Rav Chiya Bered Rav Huna Mishmei de Rava. So Rav Chiya Bered Rav Huna now says the name of Rava. Tanya de Mesayele the Rabbi Yochanan. We're now going to bring a braita that supports. Now remember, where did we start with? Rabbi Shimon didn't talk about Behemah Kodashim. We had Rabbi Yochanan who came in and said, I believe that Rabbi Shimon would not think when it comes to Behemah Kodashim that we're going to say a kesari is the same as a leida regila. Yotzei dofen is a leida regila? No, not going to be the case. So now we're going to bring a braita to support Rabbi Yochanan's reading of Rabbi Shimon. And we're going to have a braita where Rabbi Shimon basically says this explicitly. Or maybe not exactly explicitly, but basically explicitly. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zot Torah Ta'ola, Hi Ha'ola, Al Mokda, etc. Okay, so this is the pasuk about it, Korban Ola. Now, Hare Elu Gimel Mi'utim. What does that mean? Well, it says this means this and not something else. He, this and not something else. And ha'olah, the one that went up. Okay, so now they're going to darshan. There's three cases where, and now we get into a whole thing we had a long time ago, which is about if something went on the mizbeach and it wasn't supposed to be on the mizbeach, do you have to take it off or do you not? So the Tanakhama is going to say, it says zot, he and ha'ola, those are three exceptions to the rule. In other words, what's the pasuk talking about? Things that go on the mizbeach. These three exceptions, if you put them on the mizbeach, you must take them off the mizbeach. They don't belong ever. Prat l'nishchata b'layla, if you slaughter the animal at night. V'shenishpachtama, if the blood spilled on the floor before you got to burn the animal. Vishya, or before it was finished, right, it was on the mizbeach even, and then the blood spills before you put the blood on the mizbeach. And if the blood left the azara, even if it came back in, once it leaves the azara, it's pasul. So according to Tanakhama, she'im alta tered. These are three exceptions. Those three cases happen. You have to take the meat off the mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, here's our Rabbi Shimon that we're looking for. Ola en liela ola ksheira. When it says hi ha'ola mokrayam zot torat ha'ola, the ola seems to imply a kosher korban ola. That goes on the mizbeach. Minayin l'rabot. Now he says, how are we going to know that all these other cases that aren't kshirim, if they went on the mizbeach, we don't have to take them off? And he's going to start with the first three that Tanakhama said have to be removed. He's going to say, oh, those don't, in fact, have to be removed. Ola ein li'al ola kshira. Minayin l'rabot shenishcheta b'layla. What if it was slaughtered at night? Vishenishpachtama, if the blood spilled. Vishyatza damachutz l'klaim, if the blood was taken out of the azara. Vehalan, if it was the blood was left overnight and wasn't sprinkled that day, right, wasn't put on the mizbeach. Vehayotze, if the meat went outside the azara. Vehatame, if the meat became tame. Vehanotar, if it was left over beyond the designated time. Vishinishchat chutzlizmano, if it was slaughtered with a pigul thought, pigul intent, meaning right, the Kohen had this thought while he was shechting it that he was going to sacrifice, that he was going to burn the meat or eat the meat outside of the time he was allowed to, or chutzlin komo, or outside the place he's allowed to eat it. Vishikiblu psulim vizarkut aman, if you remember, we learned this a long time ago, that it really means that either psulim did the kabbalat adam, you have people who weren't allowed to, right, a kohen pasul, or a person who's not a kohen at all, or, okay, here it says vizarku, but it really should be or, you have psulim vizarku et aman, that sprinkled the blood, or poured the blood in the mizbeach, right, that's also, if you had someone not a kohen who did that. Vehanitanin lamala shenitanin nitanan lamata vehanitanin lamata shenitanan lamala. Remember the olada of and the chatara of, one is above the chuta sikra and one is below. If you did it, then you flip which one's supposed to be above, which one below. Vehanitanin b'chut shenitanin b'fnim vehanitanin b'chut b'fnim shenitanan b'chut. If you remember, some bloods of some korbanot, most of them get sprinkled on the outer mizbeach, the one outside the hechal, but some go on the mizbeach hapnimi. So what if you took the blood that's supposed to go on the inner one and you put it in the outer one, or the reverse? V'ha-pesach v'ha-chatat sh'chatan shelo lishman. Remember that? This was the very beginning of Zvachim, about doing korbanot with the wrong intent, right? You intended your pesach to be a chatat, let's say, and you intended the chatat when you slaughtered it, you're shechting it for a pesach. Okay, you mess up your intent when you're slaughtering it. Minayin, how do we know that all these cases, even though they're disqualified, once they're on the mizbeach, you leave them on the mizbeach? Talmud lomar, zot torat ha'olah. Now remember, I told you we're going to get back to this. Torat includes many cases. So here we're going to have ribat torah achat l'chol ha'olin, she'imalu lo yirdu. Everything that went up, meaning it went on the mizbeach, once it's on the mizbeach, we leave it there, even though it's disqualified. But now we're going to have some exceptions to the rule, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Yachol sha'ani marbe, you might have thought then, well, I'll include even more cases that are disqualified. Harovea, an animal it sodomizes a human. Okay, I wanted to just get Or hanirba, it was sodomized by a human. Vehamukta, an animal that was designated for idol worship. Vehanevad, or an animal that was actually worshipped, avodah zarah. Veetnan, a gift to a zonah, a prostitute. Vehamachir, something that was sold for the price of a dog, right? It was bartered for a dog. That was considered a bad thing. Vehakilayim, an animal that's a crossbreed. That also can't be used as a korban. Vehatrefa, an animal that's going to die within the next 12 months or has some simane trefa. Again, how exactly you define trefa. Vit, right, it has some defect that's going to cause, you know, some sickness or something's missing or etc. Vit yotzei dofen, oh, look what's on our list. An animal born by cesarean section. So now, what do you say about all these things? Maybe all these also im ala lo tered. Talmud lomar, zot comes to say, these and not others, meaning these all are exceptions to the rule. Once they go on the mizbeach, you have to take them off. What do you see from here? What does Rabbi Shimon hold? Beimat kodeshim can't be used for a korban. And not only can it not be used, but if it was used and it on the mizbeach, you have to take it off. So now, the brayta continues, though, before we kind of prove that from here. Uma ra'ita l'rabot et elu lotzi et elu. The obvious question is, what's the difference between category A and category B? Achar shariba katuvu mi'et amarta, right? We have a riboy and we have a miyut, right? We have the word Torah, which includes, and then we have Zot, which excludes. So since we have to include some stuff and exclude others, what are we going to say? Amarta marbani et elu shayap sulam bakodesh. All the first category A, they were all things that went into the Azara, they were okay, and they got disqualified in the process. As opposed to motzian et elu shelo hayap sulam bakodesh, they were all disqualified from the beginning. They couldn't have come into the Azara in the first place. They were never ro'oy for. They were at some point ro'oy for a korban before they were ne'evad or before they were muktzah, but not once they came on the scene to be a korban here. And therefore, now they're going to say. So that's the end of the braita. I'm just going to go on a bit more to finish the sentence. Katani mihat yotze dofen delo. Right. So notice what it says here. A yotze dofen cannot stay on the mizbeach. my lav, are we not referring to Yotzei Dofen de Kodeshim? Right, a Yotzei Dofen of, and now we're going to see tomorrow, they're going to suggest, oh, maybe this means something else. But we're assuming that what do we mean by Yotzei Dofen? Yotzei Dofen of an animal that was sanctified. That's our case. And there you see, Bright approves Rabbi Yochanan's reading of Rabbi Shimon, that even though a regular birth, he consider even a C-section would be like a regular birth when it comes to humans, when it comes to animals that are sanctified for korbanot, we put a Yotzei Dofen in a different category.